The not so good old days, that old apostrophe, old, not so good old days. We're going to have a little glance at yesteryear tonight, okay? But on a personal level, I want you to open your heart tonight and really, you know, you might have to allow the Holy Spirit to search quite deep, to dig quite deep, to maybe reveal to you an aspect that you're still holding on to of the past that the Lord doesn't want you to hold on. I'm not writing off every past relationship and, you know, family tie and this and that. Not, don't get me wrong. Okay, we're going to zoom in on specific aspects. You know, there's, but the Lord wants to redeem our past. He wants to bring something good out of it. You know, without the Lord in our past, I'm talking about our, as they refer to your BC days, your before Christ days, before you knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you could have had good times and, you know, there could have been some good people and relationships in your life and, of course, our parents and our siblings. But it's not likely that if we didn't know the Lord and love Him, that there was any pure and holy life in terms of our approach to relationships and to life in general. It could have been good, but it would not have been up to God's standard and so on. So I'm not writing everything off as completely terrible. You know, there's definitely things that can be redeemed, and then there's other things that is better left behind and never looked at again. And so now I'm just going to kind of highlight a few aspects, as I said. And what prompted me to share this word tonight is firstly that on Thursday past, I celebrated my 8 years knowing Jesus. And it was something truly special for me. Like, you know, every anniversary of the day that the Lord saved me and took me from a place of complete darkness to knowing Him and experiencing His love and having a new direction for my life, and just everything turned around 180 degrees opposite direction. It was, you know, truly it is the number one moment in my life. And that kind of sparked me to share this message tonight, which actually the Lord started laying on my heart 2 months ago. He shared a scripture with me, and I didn't quite feel that it's, you know, it was ready for that time. But I kind of re-looked at that for tonight, and there's just a few things I'd like to share. So bear with me. So I want to speak then specifically. There's a lot to say about our past and how do we relate to that now. And, you know, Eloise gave a wonderful testimony about obviously how Foundation 3, the Legacy Course, impacted her life. And so I want to encourage you, you know, to sign up if you haven't done the Legacy Course yet. Really, the Spiritual Growth Series is not just a nice to have. You know, I deem it as quite essential for our spiritual growth. There are truths in the Foundation Series that will take you outside of that maybe years to learn. But it is a consecrated environment and such powerful truths. And the Lord sets that time aside and really blesses each one in that. You know, it is heart-to-heart ministry. It's Holy Spirit ministry. And I want to encourage you guys, don't stay away for the sake of staying away. In my opinion, there's nothing better that you can do with your weekend. And we're going to do it for the first time this year in Tableview. Last year, for Foundation 3 and 4, we were still sending you guys that wanted to go to Tigerberg or Cape Town. But this year, we're doing it local. Local is lekker. You don't have to travel as far, so you got no excuse, okay? And so we're going to be smaller groups because this is a klein gemeente, but the Lord is faithful. I tell you, I've done Foundation 3 and 4, facilitated them on mission trips to small churches around the country, and people's lives change. You cannot go to a Foundation 3 and tell the Lord in all sincerity that you are open to what He wants to show you and come out the other end unchanged. Impossible. I don't care how long you've known the Lord, your life will change. And for that, I will sign up every time. I'm very privileged because I get to present it and to facilitate it every time. So I get my life impacted every time by those truths. It's amazing how the Lord speaks to me every time. So I get to do it 3-4 times a year. Praise God. The Lord knows I need it more than you. Okay. But if you haven't done it yet, please come do it. Please sign up. We're doing the foundations a lot less frequently this year. So excuse me now. I'm not doing marketing here. This is for your own benefit. We're only doing foundation 3 twice this year. Okay. It's now in April. And then again, later this year, probably September around there. So you really want to just keep these dates in mind and diarize it and make sure that you clear your schedules if you haven't done it. All right. And I promise you, there's a lot of things that many of us are struggling with that the Lord addresses at, you know, these truths just help establish a solid foundation and a framework for your life going forward. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we struggle with on a day-to-day basis that once we get the revelation that the Lord wants to give us, but I'm telling you, it's a weekend of ministry. You know, it's impossible for me to sit with you every second week for 1 hour. It will take us 2 years to get through what we get through in 1 weekend. So you can sit with that thing maybe you're struggling with for another 2 years, or you can come to the foundation 3 and you can let the Lord change your life. Okay, so that is my 5 cents worth. But the specific aspect, I digress now, of what I want to share tonight is that thing where you're having a braai with your mates, okay? And again, I'm talking here from a perspective of being 8 years in the Lord now compared to a full life of knowing Christ. I'm still a child in the Lord, okay? I'm an eight-year-old, okay? So I'm sharing this also from a perspective as a young Christian that has slipped up in this area. I'm not lording it over you or pretending to know it all and be the mature one here. But what we do more sometimes is we chat with our mates around the fire and we talk about the old days in almost in this atmosphere of fondness and almost desiring some of those naughty things that we were doing. Nah. It's like, you know, those nights that we cared through the whole night. And, you know, meantime, what really happened there is we were causing nonsense and we were polluting our bodies and we were being nasty to other people and whatever, but we kind of reminisce with fondness on some of those times sometimes. I know I've spoken to some of you about it. I know you guys are just as guilty as me. Okay. So sometimes we think back to the old times and we kind of miss some things that the Lord wouldn't want us to give 2 seconds of thought to. The problem here, okay, and it's not to absolve us completely, but is that we have an enemy. We have an adversary. Satan is also referred to as the father of lies. One of his aspects is he's a deceiver. And he will plant thoughts in our head. He's got two reasons for reminding us of the past. One of them, you can do another sermon on, but I'm just going to give you one verse, Romans 8 verse 1, is he tries to make you feel guilty about the past, therefore causing you to shy away from God. But Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation if you're in Christ. Okay, that's leave that for another day. Then the other side of the coin, he tries to make you desire some of those past sins, tries to bring to your remembrance how pleasurable it was, thereby causing you to walk away from God and fall back into that sin and iniquity. He wants to bring division between us and God. So he tries to deceive us. So very often we're remembering the past, our past things in our past life and aspects thereof as kind of, you know, nice moments or whatever. And we're actually thinking about it, desiring that aspect again. And now I'm not talking about that we must never speak about the past. Paul testifies about the past a lot. You can read through Acts, where he has to remind the Jews, look, I was the main Jew over here. I was busy persecuting the people of the way, the Christians. I was there guarding the clothes of the ones who were stoning Stephen. You know, I was there. I've got blood on my hands. I was the main Kunain. Okay. He remembers it, but he's not bragging. Okay. He's testifying. He's showing this is to the lows that I descended, and now the Lord has saved me. He has a better way for us. So we must just watch what are the feelings and the emotions and the motivation behind that which we're saying when we're talking to other people, and watch who we're talking to. You know, it makes a difference when we two save people and we know what we're talking about, and we actually, the conclusion is, yes, I don't want to go back there again. You know, then that can still fly. But we must watch to make a brother stumble. Because now that guy, he's actually been struggling with this last few days. He's really been driving past the German locker on his way to work, and he's really been wondering, wow, a pint over lunchtime will be lekker, you know? But he knows he's got a soft spot for alcohol. And now we're busy talking to him at the bride tonight about, how the drinking buddies and whatever, and it was bad, but the buddies were good and this and that. And we must watch out that we lead guys astray. So don't make your brother stumble, as the Lord says. And we must watch out with who we testify about certain things, if that is our motive, you know. And certainly just watch out, be vigilant for the deceiver of the brethren who wants to come and tempt you with pleasurable aspects of your past that the Lord would have you have nothing to do with anymore. So for some of us, our past, you know, and I can testify, was a life of excess. And it's sometimes, you know, it's the excess that we remember. It's maybe the feelings of elation and whatever that comes to mind. But we forget what that implied. We forget the consequences that it had. You know, and we forget the devastation that it brought in our lives and other people's lives. We forget the emptiness. We forget, you know, we think to some of those things sometimes as quick fixes. And, you know, that, wow, if only I could just do that, because I remember that when I was feeling low, I used to do that thing, and immediately I felt better. And we kind of think, wow, I'm feeling low, yeah, now. And that would be just so quick. It's something that's within my control. I can just go and take a few dopa, and then I'm going to feel much better. Okay? Excuse me for the slang and kind of just using that reference, but that was not true for me. And we fail to rely on God. We fail to trust in the Lord. Because the Lord has an answer for every emptiness and motivation that led to our sin in the past. The Lord has the number one answer. All of those things that we did in the past, those were the counterfeit. You know, maybe not even second place. I'm talking not on the same page. You cannot compare what Satan has to dish up as a solution. But he's got a devious agenda behind it. He just wants to kill you because you've got the image of God and he hates that. Or you've got God's solution in the other hand. And the thing is, sometimes God's way, you have to be more patient. You have to search him. Because God is not into quick fixes. Because then he'd become like a shopkeeper and we just run in and out when we need him. It would be that scripture in Revelations 3 where we just leave the Lord outside the door. And he says, and he's talking to the church there. He says, if anyone hears me knock and opens the door, then I will come in. But sometimes we have this kind of, Jesus, I'll let you in when I need you relationship with God. And that's not on. You guys know, was it Mick Jagger, Rolling Stones, that sang, I can get no satisfaction. Yeah. Sorry, Petri, I don't mean to look at you each time when I say those kind of things. What's up with that? Come on. But you know, we forget the emptiness that we experience. We sometimes think to those pleasurable times of the past, but we forget the emptiness. Who remembers Sunday mornings in the past with hangovers? This ilakini, we don't like to think of that, you know. We'll talk with our mates about the parties and everything. It was great, you know, catering so many friends and whatever. We won't talk about the Sunday mornings. Gee. Okay. Sunday is now my best day of the week. Isn't God amazing? Everything's the opposite. Sunday is the best day. Amen. So I just want to talk about a few aspects. The first one then is that before we came to know the Lord, we were blinded. The Bible says that the enemy has blinded the unbelievers. Okay? In Numbers 11, I'm going to read those five verses there. There's no de Yoda and he Vustain. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. Anyone like meat here? You'll have flesh manna. Okay. But hopefully we wouldn't have been part of the rabble. And they said, we remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Like a knuffel. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. Hey, what an ungrateful bunch. Now the manna was like coriander seed and its appearance like that of bdellium. The people went about it and gathered it and ground it in admels or beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. So I'm just fat cookies. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. Some translations say the finest oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. I mean, fat cook palais, lekker. Elke dag, okay? Keep in mind, you're on your way in the desert. The Lord has delivered you from the hand of your captors, and he's taking you to a promised land. He's shown with signs and wonders that he is God, and he knows what he's talking about, and that you can trust him. And now these people, this rabble, pipes up, and they're unsatisfied. They want more. You know, it's this thing of they're with God, and that's like some of us now. We are with God. We know God. But sometimes we fall into that trap, that lie of the enemy that tells us that what God has for us is somehow not enough. And we will sing that same Mick Jagger song, I can get no satisfaction, even though we've got God inside. And that is, the Lord reacted to this. God doesn't like it when we are unthankful and ungrateful. So he sent quail, and a bunch of the people died, okay? The Lord wants us to recognize that what we have is the best of the best. And that which Satan dolls up. You know, have you ever been, you have been, to Steers and McDonald's and whatever, and you get to the counter and up there's those nice pictures of these mega burgers. Even the little rave burgers look like mega burgers. Have you seen how they make those, how they, you know, the photos that they take of those burgers? It's not even cooked patties. They take the raw patty that's lekker groot and lekker mooi, and they paint it with barbecue sauce and whatever. You know, it looks great. And what you get in your little packet doesn't look like that, you know. If somehow they put a clause in that, you know, if it didn't look like that, then we get our money back. I mean, they would be out of business straight away. So it's like really deceptive advertising there. But everyone, you know, these days, we understand you put your best foot forward. But, you know, it's kind of like that when it comes to Satan and temptation. He makes things look so good, doesn't he? And he's everywhere. Hallelujah. Satan, also referred to as the God of this world. I mean, he's in charge of most of the adverts that we see on TV and the newspapers and the billboards. He is tempting us away from God through a host of things that he wants to sell us to satisfy every craving so that there's no place for God anymore. So there's no need for God anymore because every desire is met. But guess what? You're never going to have enough. There's always going to be that emptiness. I mean, literally, I would be the last man standing at the pub. And then I'd want to go off to the casino because they open 24 hours a day. Just to, you know, I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get far away enough from my problems that was going to resume as soon as I get home again. I just wanted to drink more. You know, if I can just prolong this and while I'm in this state, I don't care about anyone or anything. Man, that's not a good place to be. But in reality, that's where people are. You can't get no satisfaction. There's never going to be enough. No one out there can tell me that they're completely content and fulfilled and fully satisfied with what they have now, that there's no void or emptiness. They can try and say it. They're not being truthful. I know because I've been there. I've pushed the envelope as far as it can go and it still wasn't enough. every rush that I could get. Tried to do it. Wasn't enough. Now, Bruce Springsteen, I'm going through all the old guys here. Bruce Springsteen, I saw him actually on TV the other day. He should get off the stage now. Okay? He's still not making any sense. Okay, he worships the God of rock and whatever else. We know who that is ultimately. But he has a song, an old song. What's it? Glory Days. And that's kind of where I just got the... reminded me in terms of the title of the sermon. So it's the not so glory days that we're talking about tonight, and that we want to leave. The purpose is that we wrap our minds around how should we relate to our past, our before Christ life, so that we can come to a point and a decision and then leave it behind us and move forward, so that we can understand now which aspects is good to maybe convey to other people, and how should I do that? You know, and maybe are there aspects that Satan is busy tempting me with here, or trying to make me feel guilty about here, of my past? And what would the Lord have to say about that? There's no guilt for you as a believer. And don't be tempted by that, because you think it's lacquer, and you think you're remembering the good times, or the so-called good times, which aren't really good times. Sin brings forth death. In the end, always. Okay, so we think it's lacquer, but it's not. It's the not so glory days of Bruce Springsteen. We are quick to forget about the hardships in Egypt. Those Jews in the desert, man, I mean, doesn't it just grate you when you read through those, the guys marching around in the desert? And literally, I mean, a complaining rabble, and they around the corner from the promised land, literally in the next chapter, they're sending Joshua and Caleb out as spies. But right there, they're busy complaining about the food that's falling from heaven. Now you want to argue with the one who's giving you food from heaven. But we can't point fingers, because there's aspects of that mentality and attitude in all of us. So we must learn from it. That's why it's in the Bible. That's why it wasn't just blotted out like, let's rather not remind the people of this time, but let's look at God's goodness. Let's look at how God feels about that, and let's learn from that. Let's learn to cut off the past. Let's learn to be grateful for where the Lord has brought us, and that there is a promised land ahead. And we mustn't get stuck here thinking back to the past and wishing we were there. And I know I'm not just preaching to myself here tonight. Okay. And I'm saying aspects. I'm not saying we're all sitting at home and, oh, wish still back there. Wish that my conscience was dead again and I could just continue doing what I wanted to do. I'm not doing that. Okay. But I'm just talking about aspects. And maybe some of you can identify with that tonight. There's like aspects, little temptations that creep in and we don't know how to deal with it. Okay. That's what I want to address tonight. So just to remind you that the past isn't all good. I want to show you a few pictures of the past. Maybe it's in your past, Andres. Let's roll. Number one, coming up. Some of you might be able to identify it more than others. Hello. Fashion. 30 years ago. I walked around in clothes like that for a little while when I was a little kid. Okay, it's maybe 25 years ago. It's shocking, to be truthful. Hey, the past isn't all that good. Andres, the next one. Please, it gets better. Hello, the one-piece easy suit. Yeah, some of you aren't laughing. You know you have one of them. Okay. Right, next. Hello. Okay. Fashion. No, I don't think so. Do you want to go back? Uh-uh. Let's be content with what we have now, okay? I'm sorry, back when, you know. No. Let's go to Bob and Paul and Steve there. Yeah. When they designed that range, they were thinking of guys like Bob and Paul and Steve. Now, I'm a bit worried about Bob's hand on Paul's shoulder there. But nevertheless, you know, the hairstyles also don't do it for me. But yeah, thanks, Andres. That is, when we go back, when we look back, remember, keep the perspective. You thought it was cool back then. They thought they were super cool. They even showed it on their faces. They're like, you know, we are the bee's knees. Okay, now it's not so cool anymore. Sometimes we think we're reminded of the feelings of the past, you know, that euphoric feeling when you felt you were top of the world because you had half a crate of beer in you or whatever. In reality, if you came here now and you had half a crate of beer, you wouldn't be very cool at all, okay? And it's not cool. That's all I'm just trying to say, is that sometimes we think of the past as cool, but it's not so cool. 1 Corinthians 13, this is the scripture that the Lord gave me. Verse 9 to 11. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So when we were in our sinful state, unsaved, before Christ, compared to now, spiritually speaking, we were children there, or even less, but let's go with that analogy. We were children then, and we're mature adults now. When you're a child, you just think in the natural, certain things are cool for you that when you're an adult, it's not cool anymore. When you're a child, you can watch Cars 50 times in one day if you wanted to. When you're an adult, you're going to struggle through once, maybe. Okay, you're the first time, but I mean a repeat. You're going to struggle through that. There's certain things you thought were cool back then, that and they're not cool now. And so you're reminded of some of those times. And it's, you know how sometimes you drive through an area and the smell of a bush comes in the window and it brings back a memory or whatever. And it's like, it's amazing how our brains are wired that we can get triggered by a thought or something and it will conjure up a feeling. Like a nice feeling, a warm, fuzzy feeling, or a not-so-lacquer feeling. I mean, you guys know. You know what I'm talking about. And so sometimes we think back to some of the old times, and we get a warm, fuzzy feeling. And in reality, it wasn't a good thing. Back then, and in that context, you might have thought that was lacquer, but actually, you were polluting your body, and you were causing destruction, not only in your life and your family's life, but other people's lives who you came into contact with. And so we need to put our past in perspective. And when Satan tries to tempt us with a thought of the past, making it seem alluring and desirable, we need to think twice before we make up our mind, how are we going to deal with this thought? We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do with this memory? Because you know what? Our imagination, if we don't guard our imagination, Satan can lead us astray very quickly. Our imagination is the birthplace of all sin and evil into this world. At first, any sin, any murder, anything, first comes into someone's mind before it happens. We need to guard. There's the battlefield of the mind. You've heard that about that book. Okay, that is where it starts. We need to protect our imagination and our minds from the enemy. He's the father of lies. He's a toothless lion. That's all he can do is plant lies and deceive us. So we need to fight that battle with the truth. We need to come to God and ask him, Lord, how can we redeem that memory, that relationship, that aspect? Is there a testimony there that will mean something to someone? Or should I rather just ask you to help me forget that? And Lord, help me not to lead someone astray by sharing this thing with someone who's maybe struggling with that thing or whatever. I don't want to ascribe glory to what Satan did in my life. I don't want to ascribe any glory to that. We must really watch out for that. I mean, who here wants to go and watch the highlights reel of Friday's cricket match between South Africa and New Zealand? I don't think anyone. I don't care. We took however many wickets in their innings, however many fours we hit during our innings and whatever. I don't want to see any of that. Because that's highlights of a losing game.
That hurt deeply.
Okay. I promise you the highs of your BC days are lower than your lowest lows now. We just don't sometimes see it that way. We equate highs here equals highs here. Not so. That's Satan's economy. This is God's economy. Not on the same page. Can never be. We need to watch out for that. Psalm 84 verse 10 says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 days elsewhere. I'd rather be at the entrance to your court than in the tent of the wicked. Can you see the difference? That we're in a new life now. And we need to, we are new people. We are, the Bible says we're a new creation. And we need to start distancing ourselves from our sinful past and embracing that which the Lord has for us. The early disciples called Christianity, they called it the way. It's a new way of life. It's a new way of life. How can we ascribe any kind of value, you know, in whatever terms, to our sinful past? We are trampling the blood of Christ underfoot when we're doing that. It's just something that we need to remain very vigilant about. The heart can be deceptive. So there's different aspects of our past that sometimes we give some thought to. You know, maybe you miss kind of the carefree, no rules, do what I like, I'm my own boss, don't have to listen to anyone, and I don't care, no apologies to anyone ever, can use substances just to get a quick fix and forget about some worries and this and that. Whatever it may be, those ways bring forth death in the end, always will. God has the solution. God has the answer for the void that we are trying to fill, or the motivation or the wrong thinking that is happening there. God has the answer. And we know that. We know God has the answer. But why then sometimes are we in the place where we have not quite let go of the past? We're still hanging on to something there as though it has any value for us here and now. As though God can somehow redeem it. God doesn't redeem sin. He redeems the person. No sin can ever be good for you. We can never compromise and say, but this sin God doesn't mind, or this disobedience I worked out with God and He's okay with that. I'm sorry, God, He's unchanged, immutable, black and white. Sin is sin. That's why Jesus already died for that sin. You can't go to Jesus now and say, you know, that one sin that you died for wasn't really necessary. No, I'm sorry. Sin is sin. Jesus paid the price. We dare not glamorize sin. So I'm sorry, Mick Jagger must make Jesus his Lord and Savior. Then he'll be satisfied. Hopefully he has. I don't know. I think that would be big news if he does. Imagine Mick Jagger in the church band. Okay, that would be something. Now I want you to close your eyes for a second. Everyone, just close your eyes. I'm going to stand here. Don't worry. I'm not going to come and tackle anybody. Imagine you've just had a lekker three-course pot roast meal at some great friends, and now you've retired to the couch, very comfy couch. You guys must now picture this. Okay. Then they dish up some delicious creamy vanilla ice cream with a lekker caramel toffee sauce, and they bring it before you, and it's your favorite, okay? And you're busy eating that up, and you're really enjoying it, and you eat all of that up, okay? And this was a couple of years ago. Now, how do you feel about that memory? It's good. It's a nice, warm, fuzzy memory. It's lekker. Friends, good food, good company, warm atmosphere. Lekker roomies. Okay, and the ice cream, that was your favorite in that sauce. And if you thought about it now, you'd actually start craving it a little bit. You want some more of that. Now, you go and read in Wikipedia or you Google it, or it's a news flash on TV, but that favorite brand of ice cream that you hence always used to use since that day, just found out that ice cream was actually had a contaminant in it, and it caused some serious internal damage in anyone who has eaten that ice cream, you know, some like minor internal bleeding, and you will eventually die after 5 or 10 years. And you hear this now, and suddenly your stomach starts to hurt a little bit. Are you with me here? How do you feel about that memory of eating that ice cream 5 years ago on that couch now? Now it's not so lekker anymore, is it? Well, I don't think you want some more of that ice cream. Now, this should be, you can open your eyes. If you had good powers of visualization, you might have been following me there. Okay, I'm an ice cream man myself. All right. So, I mean, I'm sorry about the example, but sometimes we need to think of our sin in that capacity. It's a nice memory, but now, as believers, we know better. We know that those nights out caring with the mates and whatever it was that we were doing, or maybe we were gambling and we loved the thrill of gambling and whatever, but we know it brought forth destruction. And we know now that it's wrong, plain and simple. We don't even have to go and have more of an explanation. It's wrong. It's against the word of God. God's blessing is on work. We cannot be addicted to substances. Okay. Outside of God's divine order, plant kingdom above humankind, and so forth. So we know that it's wrong, and we must think of it in that way. And so when we're reminded of something of the past where Satan wants to tempt us, remain vigilant. Trust God for perspective. Know that that thing is like poison for your system. You don't even want to go there anymore. And you say, no, thank you, Satan. I've got a new life in Christ. That void that the Lord, that void that I was filling with my ice cream, with my alcohol, whatever, where I was struggling to find my identity, where I was just depressed the whole time and trying to run away from problems, whatever it may be, that now the Lord has fulfilled through His love and the purpose that He's given me in this life, and I don't need it anymore. So I could go to my fridge the moment I gave my life to the Lord and pour out all my alcohol and not look back since. I was put in a position where Satan set me up and everything. Joined a rugby club a few months later again, and there they called me forward in front of the whole rugby club to down a beer and everything, and everyone was like, down, 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 and I was just waiting for them to keep quiet so that I could tell them, sorry, I'm not going to drink this. You know, and that was the end of it. It's like Satan gave up on me after that. Because he knew I had made that decision, I'm not going to go back there again. So I will remain vigilant. I'm not going to say I stand lest I fall, but basically we need to have perspective on the past, and we need to recognize the bottom line. Romans 6:16, sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. Do not toe the line. Do not see how close you can get to sinning as possible without sinning. Don't go there. If it was a problem for you to go and cater with mates at the pub, And you would just have too much to drink and so on. You know, don't go to the pub with your mates now. If that is a tempting environment for you, don't even go there. Don't lead yourself into temptation. The Bible says run the other way. Run the other way. This is basic stuff. You know, if we want to become holy and more like Christ, conform to His image, we need to give attention to the sin that trips us up. And for each one, it might be different. And remember that it first comes into your mind. It first comes as a thought. Ooh, that's kind of lack of yes. Or remember how it was in the past? We need to give it attention. We need to deal with it. For each one is different. But don't go out if that is going to maybe trip you up. Find something else to do. The Lord He's not going to take you back there straight away because you're not strong enough. Maybe later in a group of believers or something. I don't know. I can't prescribe what the Lord's going to do, but do not be foolish. We need to be careful. It's important that we have a good understanding of what happens at salvation too. You can't put your old life into perspective if you don't know what your new life is. What happens at salvation? There's a couple of things that happen there. If we can put it on the next slide. It's a few processes that happen. First and foremost, we have been saved from the pleasure of sin through repentance. And so this is basically the foundation thing that we struggle with when Satan tempts us with things of the past. Because we remember those things maybe as pleasurable. Then we need to repent again. Because repentance means a change of attitude, a change of heart, a change of mind concerning sin in its totality, its purpose with us and all sorts. So we will need to repent again. And say, Lord, sure, my mind, even though I haven't done it, my mind is changing concerning this sin, and I'm starting to find it an acceptable alternative. Even though I know you told me not to do this. There's many examples that one can give. You know, because we have sins of commission and omission. The Lord told you to do something, suddenly you don't think it's a good idea anymore, and you used to do it in a certain way, and now you think that's a better alternative. We need to repent because the Lord is trying to take us in a direction and change our minds. We need to come before the Lord and say, look, I'm sorry, my mind, Satan is trying to swing my mind here and make me think that the old way is better. I repent of that. So some of us need to take stock spiritually and go and think again, you know, where's the enemy trying to trip me up? Where have I digressed to from the path that the Lord tried to put me on? You know, it starts in the mind. We were saved from the penalty of sin, hallelujah, through justification, declared innocent through the blood of Christ, so that we will go to heaven if we die now. We have been saved through from the power of sin, through sanctification. This is an ongoing process. We're through submitting to God and His Word, renders us more pure, more holy, more Christ-like. And we will be saved ultimately from the presence of sin in our life through glorification. Consummated at the return of Jesus Christ, we'll be made perfect in an instant. No more sin around. Not in our mind, nowhere near us. Hallelujah. That's good news. So actually what we're talking about tonight is more point number one, the whole repentance thing, being saved from the pleasure of sin. Sometimes we reminisce on the old times as though there was something good there. Okay. So the point of salvation we all know is when we get born again, according to John chapter 3. And there we gain a new nature, a new direction in life, a new eternal purpose, and a spiritual dimension. Our spiritual eyes are open from where it was previously blinded. Okay. So we've got a new outlook on life. And we are meant to have a new outlook on sin as well. Put it into perspective. I'm just going to forward Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 5. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm almost finished. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Okay, so that's just a beautiful picture and to illustrate the stark contrast between how our life was and how it is now. It is just as good as we were dead. We were dead to God. the Lord saved us from eternal death and eternal separation from Him by His grace, by what He did on the cross. We cannot boast in the things that have been sorted out in the sanctification process now in our life. We cannot boast in that. That's Lord working in us. But we need to realize that we are a new creation. We have been made alive in Christ where we once were dead. And the Lord does not want us to return to a state of death. Look how seriously, you know, Paul speaks about it. Obviously, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, conducting ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, children of wrath by nature, sons of disobedience. There's nothing good there. There's nothing that we want to desire in that place. Okay. So I'm not saying, you know, we mustn't hear each other wrong here. It's not about writing off relationships and family and stuff like that. Nothing like that. I'm talking about our sinful behavior that we must not desire any longer. We are no longer slaves unto sin. We are now slaves unto righteousness. We have a new nature. Our default setting is to lean towards Jesus now, where previously it was leaning away from Jesus. Okay. There are two types of people in this world, either people that are walking away from Jesus or people walking towards Jesus. We are on the road towards becoming like Jesus. And so we must stop looking around and thinking, hey, if I can just turn around, make a short detour, dan mos lekker wees, and then I'll get back on the road again. There's no way. You're going backwards when you're meant to be going in that direction. We must just watch out for that. There's nothing good back there in those ways. Sin holds no promise. Sin holds no hope. The only thing it holds is death. And some of us don't see it seriously enough. We don't see sin as culminating in death. We don't. We condone it. We tolerate it. We don't say anything when our brothers and sisters in Christ are finding themselves in sin. We are our brother's keeper. It doesn't help to go to an unbeliever and say, you know, God hates what you're doing now and whatever and whatever. We must love them. Love them to the Lord. When it comes to a brother in Christ, if we turn a brother around and out of his sinful ways, we have saved someone. Saved someone's soul, the Bible says. We are our brother's keeper. We must look out for one another. You look out for me, I look out for you. We look out for each other. Okay. We must not compromise when it comes to sin. We must not ponder on the old days and think that it was something lacquer. It wasn't. It brought destruction. If I didn't get saved 8 years ago, like many people say, and it's true for me, I don't know if I'd be breathing today. I was in such a destructive cycle that I could not break out. By the grace of God that I'm standing here. By the grace of God. Just the last few scriptures before I close tonight. Finally, there's hope for us. Hope means to cast our vision forward. That's what it implies as well. Let's not look back. I don't want us to look back anymore. We get so stuck in the past. And we're actually ascribing power to the enemy, saying, oh, he's got such a hold over me and I just can't get out of it. Do you know what? Jesus paid the price in full. We do not have to stay in our destructive cycles. Let's look forward and let's recognize what the Lord did for us and the power of the cross applied in our lives. The blood of Christ can set you free from any addiction, any cycle. Anything. The blood of Christ is enough. Romans 6 verse 23. Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to give us, John 10 verse 10, abundant life. A full life. A super abundance. Excess, but in the good way. All sufficient. Everything you can need and want, He has for you. Everything that is good. God knows what's best for us. We have a hope, and our hope of glory is in Christ Jesus. It's time to look forward. It's time to start getting excited about what's to come, about being with God for an eternity in His full glory, where now we can only experience bits and pieces. We only see dimly now, partially. But then we will see face to face, as the Bible says. That's something to get excited about. It's worth getting excited about, knowing that the Lord is in you and He's busy perfecting you if you allow Him to. He will create in you the desire and the ability to do His good pleasure. He will do it. That's something to get excited about. But guess what? We need to stay on the path. We need to make ourselves available for the Lord to come and work in us. No one can take you out of God's hand, but you can jump out. You can walk away if you want to. God doesn't interfere with your choice. We need to stay in that hand, and we need to keep allowing the Lord to change us. And that's exciting, becoming more and more like Christ. Where people start telling you, something about you reminds me of Jesus. Man, what a compliment. And that should happen more and more to all of us. We love people more and more because Christ is more and more perfected in us. So final scripture, Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 to 12. I was worried there for a second that Eloise was going to steal my sermon. Third Deuteronomy scripture. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn-out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So in closing, we need to remember that this life, the way that we are walking in, being in Christ and having Christ inside, is so much better than anything that we knew before. And that we will not allow, and we will remain vigilant to not allow the enemy to come and tell us otherwise, because that is a lie from the pit of hell, to make us desire the old life, to make us think back with fond memories and somehow think up a quick fix that we had back then when we faced the same challenge now. No, you go to the Lord first. What you have now, what you have available to you now in Christ, is by far the best solution for your life and the best option for you. Not that it's a consumerist relationship that I want us to have with Christ. It's a love relationship. But all I'm saying is, let's not look for quick fixes in the past. Let's not desire the past. Let's recognize that what we have now, the promised land, that God was reminding the Jews about the whole time, where you're going to be soon, and where we are now, the gifts and the blessings that Johan was talking about earlier, that we have in Christ and that we receive in Christ, that favor on our life on a day-to-day basis that we have now. We are already there in those homes that we didn't build. We already have eternal life. Your eternal life started the day you gave your life to Christ. If you die now, you're in heaven. You don't have to fear death. It's already started. So we're already there. What we have now is so much better than what we had before we knew Christ. So let's be grateful. Not like the Jews in the desert, that suddenly the fed cook isn't lacquer enough anymore. Let's be grateful for what we have now. Because truly it's the best. God wants to give you the best. He gave you His Son. Why would He withhold any other good thing that's good for you that you can handle from you? Why? He won't. So let's remember, always remember, what we have now in Christ, with Christ as number one in our lives, nothing compares to that. There's no looking back. There's no turning back. There's no falling back into perdition. We're staying here. We're staying close to Jesus. We're recognizing where this new life and our salvation comes from, and we will be grateful. Every single day, we've got our salvation to be grateful for. So we will not become like those moaners and complainers, those rabblers in the desert. Because then that's just where you're going to stay. But we are going to be those that are grateful and that praise God for what He's done in our lives. We're going to know where it comes from. We're going to remember and be grateful. I don't know if you'd like to stand with me. I just want to pray for us tonight. And I don't know, Johan, if you can't see them for us, nog die, to play the chorus maybe of the Dwelling Places. But just while he's on the guitar there, just playing, we'll sing with him in a second. But I just want us to pray about this. So maybe you haven't struggled with anything that I've referred to tonight at all yet. And then I want to say you're blessed. Maybe you can help other people that are struggling with this. And it's just something the Lord reminded me of. I've been guilty of it in the past because I had quite a hectic past. And then you get together with another Christian who also had a hectic past. And then you laugh about it, but it's actually not glorifying the Lord, you know. And one must be careful what we allow our minds to meditate on and what we share with people and with who we share it. We must watch out because words are powerful. They can build, they can break down. They can lead people into temptation. And so it was just a check that I got in my spirit just to share this tonight. So maybe there are some of you that can identify with some things that I'm saying and that maybe have also found yourselves guilty of it in the past or whatever. But I pray that the Lord would give us perspective concerning this, that we can go forward just with the right approach and the right perspective, and also with that gratitude, and also just constantly being vigilant of the enemy's tactics. So maybe you're not struggling so much with guilt when the enemy tries to remind you of stuff in your past. You're struggling maybe with that temptation, or maybe not the temptation, but the guilt. Maybe you're struggling with hope. You're just unable. You don't have a vision for your life. You're not looking forward. You don't see what God is busy doing in your life and where He's taking you. Or you just, every day, you don't recognize what He's doing, and you're just not grateful, and you feel down in the dumps, and you're low. And for the believer, the Lord has something better for you. What He did for us at the cross is always worth shouting about from the rooftops, being ecstatic about. The Lord is so good to us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You for saving us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we are born again. That we have a new life that we are busy living now. Thank You that we are different from what we were. And Lord, we don't boast in that, Lord. Only in that it's by Your grace that we've been saved. Not of our own works, but by Your grace, Lord. By Your grace that we can declare that we are new creations. The old things have passed away. Behold, You have made everything new. You have given us a new outlook on life, a new vision, a new purpose. A new nature. A new spiritual dimension. You've opened up our eyes, Lord, and things have started making sense to us, Lord. And thank You that we can know You every day, and that we can declare with the psalmist, one day in Your courts, Lord, it's better than 1,000 elsewhere. To stand at the entrance, at the gate of Your courts, is better than to be in the tents of the wicked. this is where we want to be, Lord. We will not look back and desire the old ways and our sin of the past, Lord. We will not fall for the trap and the temptation that the enemy holds before us to go back and to try that thing one more time, or to toe the line and see if we're really strong enough or whatever. We don't want to fool with sin. We want to mess around with temptation, Lord. We are not those people anymore. We don't even want to go back there, Lord. We want to move forward in the hope that you have given us, Lord. A life in Christ. To live is Christ. Jesus Christ, our hope of glory. Thank you, Lord. Eternal life has started for us. Lord, you've called us to be your special people, a peculiar priesthood, a holy nation, to be different, conformed to your image, not to be stuck in a rut or in a cycle of addiction or anger or bitterness or depression or whatever we find ourselves in sometimes, Lord. You have set us free. And we bless you for that, Lord. That's our purpose, Lord. We purpose tonight not to look back, but to look forward, to press on, to take hold of the upward call of God in our lives, in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you will deliver us from temptation. We ask you, Lord, that you will deliver us from guilt. There's no guilt in Christ, no condemnation in Christ. We thank you. We will not fall for the lies of the enemy, but we will fill our hearts and our mind with the truth of the Word of God, of who you are, Lord, and what you have done for us, the price that has been paid and the victory that has been won. And we thank you for that, Jesus. We apply the blood of Christ over our lives. We declare ourselves separated from the world and separated unto God. We are your people, Lord. We are your children. Thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us, that you never forget us. We pray that you'll help us never to forget you and what you have done for us, where you have saved us from, and the promises that you have for us. I speak your blessing over each one here. I pray that you'll be there with them in their moments of need, in the times when they struggle and are challenged by whatever temptations or lies that the enemy might throw at them. I pray that you will deliver them from that, Lord. That you'll deliver them from wrong feelings and wrong assumptions and wrong thinking. That you'll fill their minds and wash their minds and regenerate them with the truth of your word. That you'll transform them with the power of your word, by your spirit, to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. I just want us to sing this, just these few choruses with Johan before we go home. And I really want you to bring, while you're singing also, just to bring your heart before the Lord. And if you identify with anything that I shared on tonight, that you will just, the Lord reminds you of specific things. He's not vague. He's not distant from us. He will speak to you specifically. And I just want you to obey what he tells you. And I want you to repent if you have fouled in this area, if you have dwelled upon thoughts of things that are not pure and holy. You bring that before the Lord even now as we're worshiping. You say, just Lord, I repent of that thought and that temptation. Forgive me and help me, Lord. I declare your truth on my life. I'm no longer that old person. I've been set free from that sin. I no longer have to commit that sin. Because by your Spirit, by your grace, I've been given the power to overcome sin. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just something in that line. And if you'd like to pray for someone afterwards, I'll be here to pray for you. Well, Johan and Tanariana, I'd also love to pray with you. We'll be at the front while people are having tea and so on. Maybe get your teacup and go towards the back, and we'll be praying here. If anyone wants any prayer on anything we shared on tonight, okay. God bless you. Let's just sing together. Thanks.